It is my sincere privilege and honor to have a dear friend of the Moen family with us. My family met them back in the summer of 2000. We were youth pastoring at Bethany Assembly of God. And matter of fact, Greg and Robin, who I'm going to introduce back in the early 90s, they were also youth pastors at Bethany Assembly of God. Since then, they've gone all over the world every year, continuously. They're going to be in Africa here in just a few weeks, or Romania in just a few weeks. They travel constantly. They're both U.S. evangelists, but also Assembly of God world missionaries. And it's an honor to have them with us today to bring the word of God. The anointing's upon Greg, and I encourage you to receive every word that God would have to speak to your heart today. You ready? Amen. Greg, would you come up, and let's welcome him to this platform.
Much. Thank you so much, Pastor Tim. Man, how many got blessed during that worship time this morning? Come on. I got saved four times during the worship service this morning, four times. But what a blessing. Saturday night, last night, the first service and the second one, just to be blessed by this amazing team God blessed you guys with. And what a joy to be here. It's so great to be with the Moens again. We love Pastor Tim and Tina so much. And they're amazing children. They're kids that are adults now. But we have great respect for these guys. And way back in district youth director days and youth pastoring, and we have some things in common. But I was thrilled and so humbled that we get to be here. My beautiful wife is here with me this morning. And that we get to be here for these days. They've been so gracious to us and so kind. Just kind of catching up on life and ministry. We weren't with them maybe 3.5 minutes, maybe max, before they broke into how much they love all of you, how much they love this church. And what an amazing pastoral couple God has sent Liberty Church. Do you believe that this morning? And we appreciate them so much. And what a joy to be with you guys. First time ever in this place. And we're New Englanders, man. I feel like I'm home. And Robin's from Maine. She's a maniac from Maine. Maine, where they don't have the letter R in their alphabet. It's Portland, Maine. And I remember the first time I went to meet Robin and her parents. Matter of fact, you're taping, live streaming. My mother-in-law is a wonderful woman. Okay, I'm back. But I remember going up to meet Robin, got off of the toll booth, and before the easy pass station, first time ever in Maine, and the lady said that'll be a buck and a quarter, and I never quite heard a put like that before, but that was Maine. But I grew up in West Springfield, Mass., so I feel kind of like I'm home, and it's just good to be here this morning. We're glad that you're here. And we're believing God to move. Enjoy last night, the first service to this altar packed with people saying, Lord, I am thirsty for you. I want more of you. And we're just believing God to touch you here this morning. Being that it's the last service as far as this weekend, just really quick, just thank you again for having us. Thank you for the wonderful hotel room. And we don't take that stuff for granted. And the family we shared our room with were all wonderful people. We got along really well. And I get cutting expenses. We're good with that, whatever. But we got along really well, and a family of seven. They all had the flu and a pet iguana and a lizard, and I'm only kidding you. But thank you for the lovely room. And we were kind of packing up. We checked out this morning, of course. And how many of God's faithful to meet your needs? You know, we're packing up and got all the towels and the lights fixtures and the TV. And God's been meeting all of our needs. We're just so grateful. And we're overwhelmed at the goodness. We're having a sale out in your parking lot. And if you like towel with the letter H on it, man, we got some all shampoos, and we are here to set you up. But thank you for that. Thank you for your giving this weekend, too. You guys have blessed us, and we're so humbled by that. And every week, we take a portion that goes towards the mission things. And I was thinking about where this weekend will go. Here's where it's going to go. A part of this week is going to go in August of this will be our second year. We take teams on mission trips, and now we're taking Romanian young people with us. Many of them are orphans. And that love Jesus, and we fly them to a different part of Romania, and we go to unreached Muslim villages, and we plant churches. And this has been a vision for a number of years, and the Lord spoke to us through a woman in India years ago. She gave us a prophetic word and said, God should send you young people from around the world to partner with you to make Jesus famous. So we've been taking young people for years, but now we're taking Romanian young people. And again, many of them are from an orphanage we're really connected with. And we fly them to a different part of Romania. And they do all the ministry. I preach, whatever. But the testimonies, the altar, the kids, they do it all. They know the the language. And last year, in one night, God saved half a village in just one night. And half a village got saved. And we're able to buy land, and a building is literally being built right now in that village for the glory of God. And so next year, we'll take two of them from Romania to Africa, to our crusades there in Zimbabwe, Africa. So a portion of this week is going to go toward this coming August, taking those young people there to plant a new church in a Turkish Muslim village. So thank you for your giving, and you guys are so gracious, and we appreciate that. Hey, you know what? Can I ask you a favor? First, you be yourselves, I'm going to be myself. Is that going to be all right? Having said that, I spit about 10 rows back on a good Sunday morning. If you're not yet water baptized, I'm telling you, I will baptize you. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And I'm going to nail this guy all morning long. And no, you're sounding like you're a nice guy. I'm going after you this morning. And but whatever, and if you get hit, just relax. There's power in the shower. Come on, somebody say amen. So just enjoy it, and just enjoy the blessing. But Robin said, honey, first time, try to be, you know, dignified, whatever. So I'll give it my best shot. But I want to go to God's word for a few moments. I know what time it is, and we'll be sensitive about Matthew 22. If you have a Bible, if you don't have a Bible, we'll be, Robin, my wife, will be stoning you after church out in the lower parking lot. And but just kidding you, but Matthew 22, going to begin at verse number 1 and read on down through verse 14. So it's a chunk of scripture, but Matthew 22, beginning at verse number, here's what the book says, God's word, on a gorgeous Sunday morning here in Red Sox country. It goes like this. Here we go. Jesus spoke to them again in parable, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, tell those who had been invited that I prepared my dinner. My oxen, fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they paid no attention, and they went off. One to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding banquet's ready, but those invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants that went out into the streets, and they gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend? The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot, throw him outside. Into darkness, there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And verse 14 says, for many are invited, but few are chosen. Basic Bible, a simple parable that teaches us that God doesn't want anyone to die and go to hell. A simple parable that speaks about Israel's rejection of the Messiah. So God says, I'm going after everybody, Jews and Gentiles. God doesn't want one person to miss heaven. And so in this amazing parable, it talks about the king and the wedding banquet. Revelation talks about that time of the wedding where the Lamb will come and how it gives his bride clean garments to wear. And so one day, you that know Jesus, you will be present at what's known as the marriage supper of the Lamb. But in that wedding ceremony, we're all going to be wearing the right clothes. Now, let me set this up like this. We went to church a few years ago in Leesburg, Virginia. It was in a Palm Sunday, if I remember right. And people come up to accept the Lord that morning as their Savior. It never gets old watching Jesus save people. The greatest thing that can ever happen to anybody is when Jesus saves their soul. That's where everybody yells amen. Come on. And so people are at the altar. There's one woman just sobbing. And at the end of the service, I walked over. A couple was with her. It turns out they brought her. And her friend was so broken. Seconds earlier, she accepted Jesus as Savior. Now a follower of Christ. And she said, can you believe this? I almost didn't come. I almost didn't. And then her friend that brought her broke in and said, I know. She said, we've been asking her for weeks to come. And she said, yes, I promise you I'll come. We kept telling her, we're going to bring you. But she said when they called her that very morning to come to pick her up, She said, I decided I'm not able to come. Her friend said, we're shocked. And I said, what do you mean you can't come? You've been telling me for months you're going to come. But her friend said to her, she said that I meant that too, but I woke up this morning and I realized I don't have the right clothes to wear to church. I can't come. Her friend said to her, what you would have said to her, we don't care what you wear. We just want you to come. Look, and I get the modesty, I get all that, but wear a skirt, wear jeans, well, whatever. We just want you to come. It doesn't matter what you wear, we just want you to come. Her friends, I don't remember her attire that morning, but she looked fine. But imagine, she almost didn't come because she thought she didn't have the right clothes on. Friends, it may not matter now, and it doesn't matter now. It may not matter at all what you wear this morning, but I promise you this. The day is going to come for every single person breathing in this room where the only thing that will matter is what you're wearing. It doesn't matter now, but the day will come. It doesn't matter whether you rent or whether you own. It doesn't matter whether your daddy's a deacon or an elder or who your mother is. The day will come when the absolute only thing that will matter is did you die with the right clothes on? Because according to Scripture, when you come to Jesus, he gives you a set of wedding clothes. It's called robes of righteousness, wedding garments. When Jesus sees you this morning, he doesn't see you, even those great shirts that say all out, whatever. He doesn't see you in a t-shirt or a tie. He sees you. If you're a believer, he sees you in the wedding garments of salvation because you are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, here's the deal. Nobody gets into heaven with the wrong clothes. That's the message of the parable. The central piece of the parable are the wedding garments. It doesn't matter whether you're Baptist or Methodist or Catholic or Protestant or gluten-free or a vegan. It doesn't matter. Red Sox, Red Sox, listen. I'm from New England. Man, I can get away with that here. But what matters is that Jesus Christ is your son. Nobody goes to heaven without the wedding garment of salvation. So if that's the case, and it is, some simple thoughts about that wedding garment that parable talks about. And the first one's this. If no one goes to heaven without, you better know this, the availability of the garment is absolutely tremendous. Because the supply of God's wedding garments, he never, never runs out of supply. You know what? Nowadays, there are malls shutting down like crazy. Many folks shop online now. And you ever shop online and you got your favorite, if they ever stop making golf shirts, I'm in trouble. But if you ever like a shirt and maybe a piece of clothing and you go online, Amazon, whatever, and it comes back, that garment has been discontinued. Is that not a work of the devil when it's your favorite piece of clothing? Can I say this? The wedding garment of Jesus will never, never be discontinued. There'll never be one person who comes to Jesus, and the Lord says, I'm sorry, I'm short on wedding clothes. But when you accept Jesus as Savior, he has a set of clothes, got your name on it. They're absolutely for everyone in this room. It's available to everyone, not only quantity, but it's available to absolutely everybody. And that's amazing to me. I love what it says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. It says this. Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Now listen to this list. Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with other men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, quite the list, huh, church? Nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. What a list. But listen to the next words. And that is what some of you were. Reread the list. And that's what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified. in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask you, how many are thankful that you're not what you used to be, but you are changed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Jeffrey Dahmer was a human cannibal. He ate people. Jeffrey Dahmer was beaten to death in a jail cell. Jeffrey Dahmer destroyed lives and families for many years. And after being caught and captured, was beaten to death in the jail, because even the prisoners, the others that committed the terrible acts, even they were beyond belief that someone could go that low. After Dahmer's death, a chaplain was interviewed on television. He said, I've been in jail ministry for years. He said, I'm convinced that Jeffrey Dahmer had a genuine encounter with Jesus Christ. Dahmer, he said, was repentant of his sins. He said he wept with remorse. He said he repented. It doesn't change the brokenness and all. But he said, I'm convinced that Jeffrey Dahmer had a genuine encounter with Jesus. That's hard for us to get our minds around. But the fact is this. It doesn't matter who you are, no matter where you're from, or whatever you've done. If you come to Jesus Christ, he will give you a wedding garment, and you'll never be the same ever, ever, ever again. Somebody else who got to know about this wedding garment, because no one goes to heaven without it. Not only is it available to all people and everyone's short on supply, it's only given by the way of invitation. Now, that's important, man, because some say, you know, Greg, listen, Greg, sweat, spit, preach, do your deal. But I'll get saved whenever I want to. Actually, that's not going to happen. No, Greg, really. I'll come to Christ when I choose to. No, you won't. No, Greg, you don't get, Greg, I can get saved whenever I want to. That's impossible. No one gets saved whenever they want to. John 6:44 says that no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. And I'll raise them up at the last day. The only way that somebody can come to Jesus is by the drawing power of the Holy Spirit. Salvation is always God's idea before it's our idea. And so the one that says, and this happens in churches and Sundays across America, where folks will come in and they'll walk out, not all, but so many, and they go, you know what? Man, listen, it's not a good time for me. When I get around to it, nobody can come to Jesus whenever they want to. An example is in Acts 24, when Paul talked to Felix about sin and judgment and righteousness. And you read Acts 24, when Felix looks at the Apostle Paul, and Felix does it. Many folks doing churches like this on Sunday morning. Felix said to Paul, look, you know what? That's enough for now. That's enough. And then he said this, when I find it more convenient, I'll call for you. And he often would call for Paul. Can I say this? Can I say that hell is full of people that waited till it was too late to come to Christ? There are those that always thought there'll be a better day. Listen, if you're not following Jesus, I pray that you get saved right now and let Jesus save your soul. This isn't about a sermon. Are you kidding me? I've got no desire to preach sermons. I'm praying for God to shake somebody up, that you'll walk out transformed by the love and mercy of Jesus Christ. Salvation only can come when God draws you by his Spirit. So available to all people, but only by the tug and the nudge of the Spirit of God. It's only available. I'm so grateful. But how do you receive this garment? Greg, if I don't get to heaven, if I can't get there without the wedding garment, how do I access this? It's a great question. Basic Bible, Ephesians 2. You receive the wedding garment by faith. Ephesians 2 tells us it's by grace you've been saved and through faith and not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, that no one should boast. This isn't a matter of do you have faith, because God's given every person a measure of faith. What matters is where you place your faith. I remember years ago, Tom Brady, and what is he, 39 years? He's like 28, isn't he? And Tom Brady, how many know I'm talking about? Come on. He's 44 going on 27. Someone give me a big amen. Can I have one more prayer? God, bring Brett Gronkowski for one more year in Jesus' name. But anyhow, Tom Brady, years ago, interviewed by Larry King. And Brady said, on national television, he said, you know what? I'm a young guy, and I've got three Super Bowl, these rings, and he's got more now. Matter of fact, he just had major surgery. Did you know that? They're adding more fingers to more Super Bowl rings. So keep him in prayer for his recovery. But Brady, can't do that in New York. But Brady said, I'm a young guy. He says, I've won Super Bowls. I've got more money than I'll ever spend. But Brady said, there's got to be something more. And there is something more. And that something more is a personal walk with Jesus Christ. And the only way to know that salvation is by putting your faith in the one that died on the cross. Our faith must be in the person, not one of men. When we go to India, we don't go to India to bash Hindu gods. I don't go to India and bash Hinduism. I go to India and lift up the name of Jesus Christ, because by that name, that's where lives are set free. And so salvation, the wedding garment, it comes by faith in the person of Jesus Christ. But not just by faith. You need to, if you want to receive the wedding garment, you need to know it's free. Somebody say, thank God it's free right now. Come on. Free is good. Free is good. In America, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Well, salvation, it might sound too good to be true, but you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus still saves the lost. But it's free. And there are people that will stumble into hell. And I read the church growth books, so don't be offended. And nowadays, keep it short, keep it snappy. Don't ever bring up hell, whatever. Small problem. People die and go to hell in summer months as easy as they do in winter, summer, or fall. Hell, eternity is real. It's real. And so imagine there are so many folks that are missing eternity with Christ because they stumble over the truth that Jesus paid the price in full. But some say, Greg, you know, again, preach, sweat, spit. I'll buy myself into heaven. No one in the room can afford the wedding garment of Jesus Christ. You ever been shopping for clothes? You're looking at that one rack, and you take the price tag, and the tag eliminates you from purchasing it? In our travels or layovers, whatever, I'm always amazed at people who shop for clothes in airports. Who are these people? Who are they? Where do they get all their money? I mean, haven't they ever heard of Ross's and TJ Maxx? Somebody sell, yes, come on. Or maybe the sales rack at Dick's, but that's even. But are you kidding me? Have you ever seen clothes in the airport? Like, guys buy suits. Are you kidding me? Yes, I like that tie. Well, go, honey, we'll go with my gray picture. How much is it? It's $197, man. I'm taking it. Are you kidding me? I mean, you're going to buy a noose for $200 to wrap around your neck? You ever looked at a price and the price tag, it says, that's out of your, listen, the wedding garment of Jesus, as far as payment, it's out of our league. I hope you're making bucks. I hope you're prospering. But listen, you don't have enough shekels. We could pull all of our money together. My friend, the richest person on the planet, could not afford one simple thread on the wedding garment of Jesus Christ. The only way it could be purchased, by the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood purchased your wedding clothes. We're in a store. Honey, where's my wife? Did she leave? She had a coughing fit. Where are you, honey? Wave at me. She's still here? She was coughing. She had a coughing. Okay, my mother and my wife. My wife is a wonderful woman. And my wife and I are in this restaurant in Wheeling, West Virginia. And we just were there. Had never been there before. Where this buffet lunch. Someone say, thank God for a good buffet. Somebody say, yes, come on. I mean a good buffet. I'm not talking a buffet where people have been sneezing out at all. I'm talking a good buffet. A good buffet. Because there are bad buffets. Can I get a big amen? There are some buffets, my friend. Well, never mind. But anyway, so we're at this. It was a good buffet. And at the end of it, you know, you're done eating. Just my wife and I. And you want to, like, end your meal and continue on with your life. And so we're there in the restaurant, and we're sitting there, and you can relate to this. You're done eating, and then you're looking for the server to get your check. Thank you very much. And only two people. You guys don't all walk out on your meals, do you? And I'm only kidding you. But you look for the server. So I'm looking, and she's busy, whatever. But we make some money. That you're playing the charades. You know, you're trying to get whatever. And finally, she made eye contact, and she still wasn't coming. So then she finally made good eye contact, and then I went to a next level charades, and I went like this. What does this mean? That means the check. Those that don't know never paid the check. But those that you asked for the check, and she came over after like 10 minutes. And she said, "Can I help you?" I said, yeah you can. She says, "Well, what's the problem?" I said, "There's no problem. I just want to pay." She said, "I want to pay." She said, "That will not be necessary." I said, "I think it will be necessary." I said, "Man, we're not around here." And she went out, and she could have made it way easier. Sweet girl, whatever. And we're going back. I said, "Man, we haven't paid whatever, just that, whatever." She said, "Listen," she could have maybe opened with this, but she said, "Somebody paid for your lunch. It's free." Now, why she didn't begin with that, I have no idea whatsoever. But she said, and I'm thinking, well, you know what? I didn't just kind of, whatever. I said, "Man, I don't know. We're not from around here, whatever. We don't know anybody, whatever. Never been there before." She said, "Sir, I got tables. I don't know what to tell you. Somebody paid for your lunch. It's all taken care of." I want to ask you, have you ever been in a restaurant and someone, and you never found out who it was, has anyone ever bought your lunch? Raise your hand right now. A few of you. How many wish somebody buy your lunch? Can I see your hand right now? Hands all over the house. Well, you know what? When you pay for your own lunch like we normally do, when I pay for it, I walk out different than when somebody paid for it and I don't know who they are. When I walk out and pay for myself, I've got kind of a weird walk, kind of a lumber, just kind of just casual, just walking out, whatever, and just, what a great buffet, honey, huh, whatever. And you just kind of walk out, whatever, you're just walking out, whatever, just whatever. But when somebody pays, you don't know who it is, everything slows down. And you start scanning the room. Do I know anybody? Do I know anybody? Everything slows down. And then, when you don't recognize, then I did the fake key drop. The fake key drop. I go down to get it, looking over the room. Just, do I know somebody? Do I see somebody? And when I walked out, normally, just kind of, a, you know, whatever, lumber, let's go, whatever. But when somebody pays in, you walk out kind of stiff and kind of awkward and looking around the room and feeling kind of guilty for whatever reason. And I got in the parking lot and said, "Hurry, Robin, let's hurry and get out of here before they find out there's been a mistake." I did not say that. Robin did, but I didn't say that. Do you know how many people will stumble through hell's fire because they couldn't get over the fact that somebody paid their debt for their sin? And no matter who you are, I'm not minimizing your sin. I'm magnifying the power and the love and the grace of God. You see, we can walk with conviction against sin, but still walk with compassion. We don't need to compromise what we believe and stand for, but we can have conviction, but love and compassion. But God wants someone to know in this room, you cannot pay for a single button on the wedding garment of salvation. It's already been purchased. It's bought. It's got your name on it. It's free because no one loves you like Jesus does. He paid the price for you. He paid the full price. The last thing you need to know about receiving this incredible wedding garment. It's free, of course, and you receive it by faith, but someone needs to know that this thing fits. Oh, does it fit? You ever try something? Remember Blindside, the movie? Remember what she said to Big Mike in the movie Blindside? Shopping for clothes in a store. And remember what she said, Big Mike? If you don't like it in the store, you're not going to like it when you get back home. Everyone's shopping for something, maybe a sport coat, maybe whatever, and you go to the dressing room with the mirror, and you look, whatever, and you kind of, or you try on the new shoes, and you do the walk, or whatever, you know what I mean? And you do the shoe walk, and honey, how are the shoes? Well, right one feels good, but it rubs up against my left toe, whatever. Listen, if it doesn't fit, you put it back on the rack. Do you know how many people will die and go to hell? They thought that Jesus didn't fit them. They thought, Ray, listen, it's for you, but not for me. And my answer is, you got it wrong. It's not Jesus' clothes that don't fit you. It is the devil's clothes that don't fit you. The devil's clothes, they're restrictive, they're small, that they keep you kind of stiff. And, you know, listen, but you put on Jesus and you'll be freer than you've ever known in all of your life. My first time ever in India, I should listen to my wife. Can someone say it's a good thing to always listen to your wife? She said, Robin said, honey, you got to pack some suits, some ties. I thought, I'm going to go, and I'm not going to bring them, but I will ask for forgiveness when I get there. Because I don't sweat. I glisten for the glory of Jesus. Some people sweat. I don't sweat. I glisten for the glory of God. I missed his glory, his anointing. And Robin says, yeah, tell me that with the laundry. But anyhow, so we get there, and the pastor said they had 5 services on Sunday morning. We'll be there again next year. The first service begins at 5:30 a.m. Thousands will gather to worship Jesus at 5:30 a.m. in Bangalore, India. And every service begins with a sea of thousands waiting to come in after the next service. And he said, well, you know about, you know, shirt and a tie tomorrow? I said, well, Pastor, I just have some dress pants and some golf shirts. And he said, I thought you'd let myself. I'm so sorry. I kept waiting for the it's okay. He said, oh, no. He says, here's what we'll do. He said, give me your shirt size, and we'll go to the store and buy you shirts for tomorrow. Or he says, I have several tailors in our church. And the church runs about 40,000 people, lots of tailors in that number. He said, we have men who stay up all night long making you shirts for tomorrow morning. I thought, oh, forgive me, Jesus, I made a big blunder here. And then he said, listen, we'll make the shirts. They bought shirts, but he said, you can wear one of my coats and one of my sport coats. And he said that to me, and I know that he meant well. But when he said that, I looked at him square in the eye, and I said, Pastor, I'm not sure that's going to work. Pastor, your coat is lovely and whatever, but it might not just fit. I felt like Goliath. I felt like Gulliver. I felt like Sasquatch. I felt like the missing link. And I put it on, and it just didn't fit, whatever. Don't you let the devil lie to you. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about form and rules and do's. I'm talking a relationship with the one that died and rose up from the dead. And you've never will meet one person, whether crack addict, former business. When people come to Jesus, they find out what you have found out. You put on Jesus, and nothing fits you like the garment of salvation, because you are free in the name of Jesus Christ. So don't leave this place with the mantra, you know what, it's good for you, but it doesn't work for me. I double dog dare you. You repent of your sin. You give your life to Jesus, and you're going to walk out freer than you've ever felt in all of your life. Jesus Christ puts broken people back together again. And we've all sinned. Come on. We've all screwed up. We've all blown it. But his blood can wash away the vilest sin. Remember the song I wrote years ago? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch. Aren't you grateful that his grace can wash away the most wicked of our sins? So it fits. It fits. Say, Greg, it's wonderful, this wedding garment. No one goes to heaven without wearing the right clothes. I'm almost done. In this wedding garment, there was power. I remember as a kid, this certain piece of clothing I had growing up, I thought had power in them. If you cut me, I do not bleed red. I bleed Boston Celtic green. As a matter of fact, when I grew up, I'm going to date, my father was a pro basketball player many, many, many moons ago. So Hoop was our family. But for the Celtics, his number was number 17. Anybody know who that is? Sir, you said that with such pride, and the way you kind of cocked your head back and said that, John Havlicek, and I felt anointing all over me when he said it. And so as a little kid growing up, I'd wake up and I'd put on my, what was his nickname, sir? Hondo, Hawk Hondo, you're close, Hondo. And so I woke up, and whenever I put on number 17, I was Hondo all day. My mother would not say, good morning, Barry, good morning, Nancy, good morning, Bobby, good morning, Hondo. She'd say, good morning, Hondo. I was Hondo when I wore that shirt. I'd be out in we had a basketball court in our yard, and when the neighbor would come and play, we had lights, and when I put that shirt on, it was always Hondo. At dinner time, when I wore the Hondo shirt, my mother, you know, Hondo, you want more potatoes? And I used to think that shirt made me into Hondo. Of course, it didn't. But you put on the wedding garment of Jesus Christ. There's power in that garment. Because it says in Corinthians, you come to Christ, the old is gone, and the new has come. He changes you. You're not what you were. You're different. Are you glad you're different? So this wedding garment, it has power. It doesn't just change us. It also covers us. Hasn't that always been man's problem? Back to the garden, we sin, and we look for ways to cover ourselves. But God reaches to the garden and speaks to Adam. Listen, that what you're covering, it kills an animal. Because without the shedding of blood, no forgiveness of sin. And so God makes a covering. Listen, there are folks in the room this morning. You are spiritually exhausted. You're trying to make your own coverings, trying to make your own way into heaven. And God's saying to you, I want to free you from that. It is futile. It doesn't do any good. But if you come to me, I will cover your shame. I will cover all of your sin. Hey, Greg, are you against abortion? I think abortion is the slaughter and murder of an unborn baby. Yes, I do. You know what else I'm against? A girl who goes through her life, who's had an abortion, and doesn't realize there's a living, loving Jesus who can put broken people back together again and heal and cover. Who is in this room this morning and you want God to change you, but you got the shame and the guilt, and God's saying to you, I won't just wash away your sin, but I will cover the guilt and all the regrets, and I'll give you joy. The devil says you'll never have joy, but God says, I will cover and give you great joy for mourning. So this wedding garment, as the team comes one last time and Brother Keyboard comes one more time and plays something that I have written, preferably. We can all dream, can't we, church? You've heard of Good, Good Father by Tomlin, right? How many have heard that song? I wrote a new song. It's called A Good, Good, Good Father. I added one good. He's a good, good, good father. Come on. This wedding garment, it covers us. And we're now justified through faith, and we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's somebody breathing in the room today. I could not be here for free services and not have at least one service where I solely go fishing for people in the crowd that are not ready to stand before a holy God. I'm not asking you what your day looks like, what your summer looks like. I hope it's incredible. I want to ask you, what does your eternity look like? Because nobody will be with Jesus in heaven forever and ever unless you die with the right clothes on. In the parable, and we're going to end with this, Pastor Tim said, Greg, if you could end if you could end by 4:00, that would be great. But can we end a little early? Is that going to be all right? Give me an amen. Are you okay with that? I'm not keeping you at 4:00 in the afternoon. He didn't say that. He said maybe 3:00. But even then, that's just, you know, I'm having fun with you. Thanks for playing that pad, man. What a great worship team, and spoiled with you guys. What a great team. In the parable, and we're done with this, it teaches us how serious it is to come to the end of your life with the absence of a garment. The king prepared the wedding banquet. It's all there in the scriptures. And the king arrived, the Bible says, the king is coming back for his church. The wedding banquet was now taking place, and the scripture teaches, when the king arrived, it teaches us, he noticed somebody in the room that wasn't wearing the right clothes. And he approached him. And he said, excuse me. He called him friend, by the way. I love that. Because Jesus is still the friend of sinners. Even in a difficult moment of judgment, a difficult moment of sin, and there's still that heart of the friend of sinners. He didn't say, you jerk, you good for... He said, friend, who let you in here without the right clothes on? And here's the thing, we're going to be done. We'll close in seconds. Don't touch your car keys. If you touch your car keys, they will literally explode in your hands. One guy just said, honey, here, you drive. When someone comes to the end of their life and does not die with wedding clothes on, please hear me, because whether you say, Greg, you know what, preach wet spit, this doesn't affect me. Yes, it does. I'm not trying to be Mr. Bold in your face, I'm not coming to wag a finger. This has never won one soul. This never wins anybody to Jesus. But this can win nations to Jesus. We're not to tell the world how bad they are. We're supposed to tell the world how good he is. Because it's his goodness that brings people to repentance, brokenness and repentance. But for those that come to the end and die with the wrong, they've rejected Jesus. You need to know this, because this will be you. There's going to be a showdown. You're going to have to face him. You will go one-on-one with Jesus. It's amazing technology. I can be in a rural village in Zimbabwe. Rob and I normally travel together all the time. But there were cases that we don't, man. I'm so grateful for Skype and FaceTime. And I have been in the bush and somehow with a hotspot, whatever. I can FaceTime and I see the face of my beautiful wife and I see her. Let me say this. You will have FaceTime with Jesus Christ. For John 5:22 says, the Father judges no man but has committed all judgment to the Son. If you die in your sin, if you reject the free gift of salvation, you will have to face him. And I get this, because I didn't grow up. I'm 17, went to church for the first time, got saved. So I could understand somebody thinking right now, you know, Greg, who are you? You come in here, sweat, spit, you talk way too fast, kind of obnoxious, and you're coming in like this, and who are you to tell me that someday I could understand somebody feeling like that. But I'm telling you, you're going to have to face him, and you will. No one's going to delete it. No one's going to go in their smartphone and delete, shift, whatever. You will stand before God. There'll be a showdown. There was a showdown, but it says that he was in shock. When the king said, where are your clothes? It says the man was speechless. Can you imagine how brazen and the arrogance and the boldness it took for that guy to walk into a room wearing clothes different than anybody else in the room? The brazen, I mean, to walk with any sense of what, and it says he was speechless. There'll be people, some that laugh and mock and ridicule, that will pound their fist and grind their teeth and say, dear God, what have I done? I've left this world not ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. I've died with the wrong clothes on. Heaven will never be my home. And what's great, when we die, we're all going to end up in the same place. That's so comforting. The problem is, it's not true. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I understand this, the whole eternity hell thing, but you say, Greg, you're being too dramatic. How do you soften this? No, I really mean this. How do you do this? Because I don't know how to do it. I've been guilty, I know, sometimes too much humor and kidding, whatever. How do I throw a joke in here right now? When somebody dies and goes to hell, how do you soften that, man? That's why I told folks, when I'm in Zimbabwe, we're just there recently, I don't give a gentle call. I beg people. No, really. I plead with people. You don't want to let Jesus save you. Come to Jesus. He alone can change your life. The shock, he was speechless. And then there was separation where the king said, servants, come in, tie him up, and throw him outside into the outer darkness. There is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I'm asking you this morning, as we land this plane this morning, when you die, will you have the right clothes on? Can I end with this? Are you still with me? Are we still together? You haven't left yet, have you? Because I get that. You could already be on your way to lunch, but we'll end just in a second, I promise. The pastor was in Atlanta, Georgia, and he shared that over the course of less than 1 year, three different people came to speak in his church. Unconnected, except through their love for Christ. And one man came in to speak, and he shared his testimony that he was in Australia, a place called King's Crossing, a popular touristy area in Australia. Busy people walking around when he said, a homeless man, disheveled, unshaven, unkept, homeless, crippled man, grabbed his pant leg and pulled on his leg. He looked down, rather fearful, taken back, and thinking he wanted a handout. And the crippled homeless man looked up and said, sir, if you died by midnight tonight, do you know where you'd spend all of eternity? He said he left that man but couldn't leave his words. It was not weeks, but days later, that man back in the States accepted Jesus Christ, now serving God full time. Some months go by, same church in Atlanta, a woman came to share about her ministry, and she gave some background. I was in Australia, in a place called King's Crossing. Touristy, people all over walking around. When looking around, there came a strong tug on the bottom of my coat. Just walking around at a tug, and she looked and was taken back. A homeless, crippled, disheveled, unshaven, unkept, and was on the ground, twisted legs and filthy, pigeon-stained cement, people walking all over, litter and things and whatever. And she just stepped back for fear, and he said, it's okay, I want to ask you a question. If you died by midnight tonight, do you know where you spend eternity? She ran away from him, frightened. I could understand her being alarmed. And it was weeks later she accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, serving Jesus Christ now. Same church. Some months later, a man came to speak. He gave some background. You're going to get ahead of me in the story, but let me finish the story. I was in Australia, a place called King's Crossing. Walking around, looking at the sights and people watching, when somebody grabbed at my pant leg so strong. All down was a crippled man, disheveled, unkept, unshaven, twisted legs, pigeon-stained cement, sidewalks, and people all. He just looked. He said, I thought he wanted a handout. I stepped back, and he said to me, sir, I've got one question. If you died by midnight tonight, do you have any idea where you'd spend eternity? It was some weeks later that man bowed at the foot of Calvary's cross, accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, a follower of Jesus. The pastor said it was so strange and so unusual, but so beautiful. Now you're really going to get ahead of me in the story as I end it. Some years went by, and the pastor of that church was in Australia to attend a large conference of leaders and believers. There was free time in their schedule. He thought, what am I, take a nap, watch Australian TV, what am I? He just thought, hey, I remember them talking about that King's Crossing. He remembered the testimony, and he thought, you know what? Now you're already ahead of me in the story, aren't you, church? He made his way during free time to King's Crossing, and he's walking around just remembering the testimonies and seeing the sea of people. He said, just like he envisioned, people like Times Square, people walking all over, just hustle and bustle, when all of a sudden it happened. He felt a strong tug on the bottom of his jacket. He said he looked down, and there was a crippled man, twisted legs, a pigeon-stained sidewalk, and people around, disheveled, unkept, unshaven, crippled legs. And before the man could speak, the pastor said, it just came out of me. He tugged at my pant. I stepped back. He said, I saw him, and it came out. And the pastor said, I know what you're going to say to me. I know you. That freaked out the poor guy on the ground. He said, how do you know what I'm going to say? He said, you're going to ask me, aren't you? He said, you're going to ask me, aren't you? If I die tonight, do I know where I spend all eternity? The crippled guy was shocked. How did you know if we met? No, how did you know this? He said, I'm a pastor back in America. And over the course of just under a year, three different people came to my church to minister. And they shared how they came to Christ. Because in this ground, in King's Crossing, a crippled homeless man tugged on their clothes and asked them that question. And all three repented of their sins. They're now all following Jesus. He said the crippled man began to weep and sob and wail on that dirty cement ground. He said, you don't know what this means. He said, when the Lord saved me years ago, I said, Lord, I've got nothing for you. I'm crippled, I'm broken, I'm homeless, and I can't do anything. And the Lord said, you can do this for me. He said, until I take you home, you crawl on the sidewalks of King's Crossing. You tug at the souls of people, and you ask them, are they ready for my coming? Do they know what's well with their soul? He said, I've never known until right now that my tugging has ever made a difference in anybody's life. And I tell you that to end with this. As we close this service all over this room, there comes now the tug of the Holy Spirit, where God says to you, I want to forgive you. I want to wash you. I want to set you free. I want to change your life. There's not one person in this room who's gone so deep in sin the grace of God can't go down and pick you and get you out. Whether you respond or not, it'll be forever recorded in heaven's history books on this Sunday morning at Liberty Church. The Spirit God came to tug on the souls of those who need to wear the right wedding clothes. Would you bow your heads all over this room? You've been so patient and so kind. My word, you've been, what an honor to be here with you today. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, not because we're embarrassed, not because we're ashamed. But in a moment, I'm going to count to the number three. I've dug a narrow path today. It's been intentional, I promise. Now, the Lord can heal, God can fill, God can encourage, God can revive your soul. But I know I've dug a narrow path. Jesus doesn't want one person to walk out the doors into this gorgeous day when you're not right with God, wearing the wrong clothes. The moment I say three, your heads are from the front to the back, to the left to the right, from the youngest to the most senior. If you're here and you have never, ever received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm not talking being Catholic or Protestant. If you can't recall ever praying a prayer to repent of sin, to receive Jesus, I'm not asking you. I'm begging you when I say three to lift your hand up high when I say the number three. Well, Greg, why are you counting to three? Not to be gimmicky. I'm not looking to manipulate. But every journey begins with one step. Before a great race in the Olympics, it's on your mark, it's get set, it's go. So if you can't remember ever praying a prayer to receive Jesus as Savior, I'm not talking where you dunked as an infant, where you may have been water baptized, you may be sung in choirs, you might even have a key to every closet in this church and be far from God. The moment I say three, if you can't remember ever praying a prayer to receive Jesus, I want you to raise your hand the moment I say three, if that's you. But also, when I say three, you say, Greg, I prayed that prayer. Maybe you walk with God for some, and maybe you say, Greg, I'm in church. You could be in church in the right place at the right time, but with a wrong spirit far from God. And if you say, Greg, listen, who am I kidding? Greg, I know, I once maybe, but I'm not right with God. Today, I need a fresh commitment to the one that died on the middle cross, Jesus Christ. From the front to the back, whether for a recommitment or to make a commitment for the first time, if you say, Greg, and this will take some courage, I'm not right with God, but today I want to walk out of here with the right clothes on. The wedding garment of salvation. If that's you, When I say three, I want you to give the devil a heart attack and raise your hand the second I say three. It's always good to have a physical response to a spiritual decision. The moment I say three, if you're not right with God, I'm begging you to I'm not going to ask twice. I promise you there will not be a second call. It's all come to this. When I say three, if you know today's your day, just say, Greg, I want to be a follower for the first time, but to make a recommitment. You shoot up that hand the moment I say three, and we'll close in prayer. Here we go this morning. One. Two. Holy Spirit, make it real. Holy Spirit, rescue somebody this morning. God, have mercy this morning. Let somebody sense and respond to the tug this morning, I pray. Three. Lift it quick where I can see it. Greg, it's me. It's me. You're talking to me. I'm not going to play any games. You're talking to me. I want us to all stand to our feet. Can we do that this morning? Can we all stand? Well, listen careful. Not some of you, not half of you, but I want to ask as a favor, as a friend, because I want to shake your hand before I want to ask for every single person that just lifted up your hand, whether for the first time or make a recommitment from the front to the back. I want to ask for every single one that just raised their hand to quickly leave your chair right now and come stand side by side at the altar. Quickly, come, quickly. If you raise your hand, just come. That's it. You're coming. That's right. They're coming. Come on. That's it. And we're going to clap while you come. Come on, there's more. Come on, if you're raised to come, come on. Side by side. Side by side. Come on, keep on clapping. Come on. Come on, side by side. Just side by, come on over here, guys. Just side by side. Come on, come on, there's more. Somebody clap your hands. Come on. Until they're all here. Come on, there's more. Don't miss this. Somebody else, come on. Come on, somebody else. Don't miss the grace of God this morning. Just come, come on, we're waiting for you. Come on, keep on clapping, there's more, come on. The Lord's in this house. Somebody shout to God while you clap. The Lord is in this house. Come on, give them one more standing ovation right now. Somebody clap your hands. Hallelujah. Now here's the deal. You're seconds away from never being the same ever again. It's His grace. It's His mercy. It's His love for you. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, Jesus is about to give you a new set of clothes that will last forever and forever and forever. Your wedding clothes. We're on holy ground. Listen, if you have a loved one at the altar, if it were me, I'd be knocking people down to get up front with them. If you have a friend or a loved one at the altar, would you quickly come and get behind them right now? Just feel free to come. If you maybe were sitting by them or you know them, and just come get behind them. Let them know. Take a big step toward me, guys and girls. A big step toward me. I'm not going to spit until I see you next time. But let them come behind you. That's wonderful, 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 wonderful. What a great church family. I get it now why Pastor Tim has been bragging on you about you guys all weekend. Now I want to lead you in a prayer. Repeating it has never saved one person. But if you believe what you're about to pray, Jesus is going to change your life. You'll never be the same ever again. Jesus is going to wash away all your sins, and Jesus Christ will be your Savior and your God for all eternity, and heaven will be your eternal home. I want to lead you in the prayer. I want you to pray it out loud after me, repeating it in faith. And I want to ask for everybody in the room that would say, Greg, I'm already a believer. I really don't need to. I get that. But this prayer will not damage anybody in the room. Can somebody say amen? So as Pastor Tim comes, I'll turn it to him in a moment. Can we lift our hands up to the Savior of the world all over this room? Hands are lifted all over this room to the one that died and then rose up from the dead. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Pray this prayer out loud after me in faith. Here we go. Dear Jesus, I'm asking you right now to do what no one else can do. To commit to my heart, to forgive all my sin, and save my soul. I believe that you are the Son of God. You love me so much. You died on that cross. You took my sin. And then you rose up from the dead. Forgive all my sin. But I give you more than my sin. I give you myself today. I choose to follow you now. From this moment forward, you are now my God. You're my Savior. And I am now your child. Heaven will be my eternal home. I thank you, Jesus. I will never be the same again. All because of your love and grace. Help me to stay by your side. To never look back. To never go back. But to walk by your side. Thank you for my wedding clothes. Thank you for hope today. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. In your name I pray. Amen. Would somebody give God a shout all over this room right now? Somebody give God a shout all over this room. Reach your hand out toward the altar. If Pastor Tim comes, Father, bless my friends. God, I know it's late. I know we're in extra innings. But I pray, God, dump buckets of grace all over this church today. Bring liberty into the greatest season of evangelism they've ever known. I pray, oh God, you would honor prayer, that you would save the lost. I pray for a soul-winning revival to rock this part of Massachusetts. I pray, God, for Massachusetts to Idaho to San Diego. The buzz will be, have you heard what God's doing in that church on Hartford Turnpike? Have you heard that Jesus is saving children and young people all the way to grandmom and grandpa's? Have you heard that hundreds are coming to know Jesus Christ? God, send revival. Save souls and keep those at this altar. Bless them. Bless them and keep them, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you give God a big old hand clap? Come on.